93 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Debris from the submersible that disappeared Sunday on an expedition to the Titanic wreckage has been found.
An ROV, or remote operated vehicle, discovered the tail cone of the Titan submersible.
Coast Guard Rear Admiral John Mauger on where it was found.
Approximately 1,600 feet from the bow of the Titanic on the seafloor.
Undersea expert Paul Henkin.
We then found a large debris field. Within that large debris field, we found the front end bell of the pressure hull.
All five who were on board are presumed dead. The families have been notified. Stacy Lynn, CBS News. A judge has temporarily blocked an abortion pill ban in Wyoming just before it was set to take effect. CBS's Jim Crisula points out,
while other states have instituted what amounts to bans on abortion-inducing medication by outlawing most abortions outright, Wyoming became the first state to ban abortion pills specifically.
The National Weather Service confirms a tornado touchdown today in Highlands Ranch, south of Denver. KCNC-TV's Connor McHugh.
The people who were working in this area say that it was incredibly strong for about 30 to 45 minutes, that thunderstorm. They did get rain. They described it as about a golf ball size hail down to a marble size. They weren't exactly able to measure it or anything, but they did say it was constant, it was consistent, and it was big hail that was coming down.
Four people died when a tornado tore through the small town of Matador, Texas last night. Much of Texas is still dealing with extreme heat. Minnesota-based 3M will pay over $10 billion to settle lawsuits over forever chemicals in drinking water. WCCO-TV's Amelia Santinello has more.
PFAS were manufactured by 3M for decades and legally dumped in different sites in the East Metro. Some got into the drinking water in the area. The company says that this settlement will help detect and remove those chemicals.
Prosecutors have charged Rust movie armorer Hannah Gutierrez-Reed in connection with the 2021 fatal shooting of the cinematographer. Prosecutors accuse Gutierrez-Reed of transferring narcotics to another person on the day of the shooting. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson.
It is serious that, in fact, Gutierrez-Reed was transferring narcotics, because one could expect that perhaps those narcotics played a role in the tragic shooting and the handling of the evidence on the set.
Tech billionaires Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg are ready to fight offline. In a now viral Twitter and Instagram back and forth, the two seemingly agreed to a cage match face-off. It all started when Musk, who owns Twitter, responded to a tweet about Meta reportedly preparing to release a new Twitter rival called Threads. This is CBS News.
Hiring's a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
If you're searching for a unique and environmentally conscious shopping experience in Milwaukee, your search ends at Clover, a haven for plant and art lovers in the area. Clover's plants are handpicked from Wisconsin-based wholesalers. In fact, Clover was recently recognized as one of the top 10 best plant shops in the Midwest by Midwest Living Magazine, and the gallery features the talent of 23 local women artists. Clover, women-owned and operated and making a positive impact in the community. 2252 South Kinnickinnick Avenue in Milwaukee, or online at clovermke.com.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Dom's or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Xerxes in Minneapolis or at vinaigrettemn.com.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're absolutely right, Dago. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we've got a jam-packed show today. We got Wendy talking about our sacred animals, and also Rory Wake 'em Up, who we're about to have on here. But first, before we get with Rory, we got I'm really excited. This will be the second time the governor has been on our show. Wendy, the lieutenant governor, or the governor of Wisconsin, not our governor here in Minnesota, but our governor in Wisconsin has reached out because, as you all know, we're on Civic Media Network at night here, and we play a lot of Wisconsin things, Wen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's take a listen to the governor of Wisconsin.
Oh.
Hey there, folks. Governor Tony Evers here. This week, I signed key portions of our bipartisan compromise on shared revenue to provide historic increases in state support for our local communities and make historic investments in our kids and K-12 schools. Shared revenue is one of the most significant sources of funding provided by the state to local governments. With shared revenue being held stagnant for the last decade, local partners in every corner of our state have been forced to make impossible decisions about what essential services to fund. Having to choose between paying for first responders, addressing PFAS, fixing the roads, and other critical priorities that affect the health, safety, and well-being of Wisconsinites everywhere. For far too long, our local communities have been forced to do more with less. Our local partners should have the resources they need to meet basic and unique needs alike, period. That's why our bipartisan compromise includes at least a 20% increase in support to most municipalities statewide. Additionally, I'm proud that our bipartisan compromise will not only mean historic increases in support for our local communities, but historic investments in our kids and schools across Wisconsin, too. I secured $1 billion in spendable revenue for our K-12 schools and education, which means we're finally going to get our schools much-needed resources that can be used for our kids and our classrooms across Wisconsin, including $30 million for school-based mental health support and $50 million to help improve literacy and reading outcomes for our kids statewide. Folks, this is great news for our kids, our families, and our communities. This is a win for Wisconsin. To me, increasing shared revenue has always been about doing the right thing. I'm proud of this bipartisan effort, and as we continue our work on the state budget, we'll keep working to build on this historic accomplishment to keep doing the right thing for our state. Thanks for listening. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Wow, Wendy, that's exciting to have the governor of Wisconsin stop in and give us a quick update.
Yeah, I'm glad he was able to secure that money for education. I think it's so important. Last night we were watching the news and they were saying, was it seventh graders that were failing and not doing well? They were really lower in reading scores and math scores. They said it was like as if it was like 1970. And that's how bad they were.
And you know how bad that was? That's when we went to high school, Wendy, in the 70s. So it's back to that.
Well, I think the kids are really needing to catch up. And COVID really put a knife into everything that they had to do. So,
sure did. Hey, we have Rory Wakeham up. And Rory, you are a doer here in the community. And thank you. You're on mute right now. But thank you so much for being on and stopping in, Rory. Really love to hear what you have to say today. You're an artist, you're an entrepreneur, an all-around great guy. Thanks for stopping in, and let's talk about some of those things you're working on.
Bonjour. Miigwech for having me on. I thought it was going to be radio. I didn't know there'd be video. I mean, I used to have a good face for radio till now. So I'm like a deer in the headlights.
No, it's mostly radio. We got 300-400 watching us, but we got about 200,000 people now listening to us on radio. So it's mostly radio.
Cool. Indigenous Kasbodaben, Nindu de Mukwa. I'm enrolled in the Boys Fort Band of the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe. I just say I'm a net leaker. Born in St. Paul, raised mostly in Minneapolis up till eighth grade, and then we moved to the Lower Sioux Reservation. So my dad that raised me for most of my youth was Dakota. Mm-hmm. So kind of an eclectic range of indigenous native Minnesota. So yeah, my native roots are here, and the Irish side migrated over and has been here five generations since they migrated straight to Minnesota, the earlier cabinets. And then, got my undergrad at the Institute of American Indian Arts and associates and bachelor's, and then my MFA at UW-Madison. And then I've been working with community arts projects and arts engagement to, what I say, bedazzle our community events and marches and social and environmental justice actions, and all around rabble rouser and self-employed artist.
About yes, some you up. You're the person to call whenever there's a big event and that we need art. And you've done that at the Capitol for years. People know you mm-hmm. from all over the state, and I'm sure in Wisconsin too, where we have 18 other stations are listening to us in Wisconsin. You're known as the go-to guy. And I just have to say, this last MMIW day in May, you did an unbelievable job at the Capitol and in years past too. So I just have to give you a big peenigigi for that.
Yeah, Miigwech. Yeah, the National MMIW Day on May 5th. It's timed right for the policy and financial bienniums in the state government there. So it's nice to be able to do some site-specific art installations on the Capitol lawn to help promote MUSAC and MIWRC and all the women's orgs and organizations that work with the systemic issues of every day that kind of surround our missing and murdered indigenous relatives. So yeah, it's a real honor, growing. And now I mean, it went from, teepees, there was a need in the community for teepees. And then I've learned kind of as an artist, taught myself, how to make them with my some of my community helpers, Lisa Lee Polkovic. Sorry, I always say her name wrong, but I've been working with her for years. But she is definitely a staple in a lot of this community artwork, and same with a lot of local artists. I don't do any of this alone. It's definitely a team effort. I'm just lucky enough to be, I guess, the leader. I guess the organizer of it all, kind of the rabble-rouser. Right. I like it. Yeah, it's fun.
Definitely.
Today I'm super excited. We have 1 minute. Sorry. Oh, to talk about the Four Sisters Farmers Market, that's what I'm here to do. And then the initial video thing says I'm the AMR director. I'm no longer the director there. Angela Two Stars is. But I am working with NACD now for the Four Sisters Farmers Market, and Dream of Wild Health is there. If you haven't heard of them, look them up. I'm sorry. I thought we had about 10 more minutes, but
we will. We got to take a quick commercial break, Rory, and then we'll come back with you.
Oh, great. Cool. I thought I missed the boat.
No, you didn't. The boat's coming back after a few short messages. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short message.
Stay with us.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, this is Robert Pilot. I taught in St. Paul Public Schools for over 25 years, and I want you to join the team and make a difference in our children's future. Right now, St. Paul Public Schools is offering hiring and retention bonuses up to $10,000 for a variety of teaching and classroom support positions for the next school year. Grow in a supportive and fulfilling public school setting. Limited bonuses are available, so don't delay. Apply at spps.org/careers.
Your Blue Line Extension Project wants to hear from you. We are working on extending the Blue Line light rail into North Minneapolis, Robbinsdale, Crystal, and Brooklyn Park, and connecting it to our growing transit system. Tell us about your neighborhood, your business, your family, and what you need from your Blue Line. Learn more and share more of your story at yourblueline.org. That's yourblueline.org.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute, Minneapolis.
Yes, it is. And we really appreciate their support over the years. And hey, we're here with Rory Wakeham up. And Rory, I know you got a lot to say about the avenue and what's happening now. So I'm going to give you the microphone, so to speak, and then let us know what's happening in the avenue, because we usually have Robert Lilligren on Thursdays and he talks about what's going on. But you're a great substitute for Robert. So let's hear it, Rory.
Yeah, those are big, huge shoes to fill. Robert has done amazing work in community, in both politics and community organizing through the years. So I am honored to be able to walk around with his big old shoes for a little bit on the radio. But yeah, so speaking of, well, I mean, I'm excited about the new Indian Center that's being renovated right now. That's been a long time coming. So I really want to publicly thank Mary Lagarde for her determination on that and getting all that done. It was a lot of hard work, nothing easy. But yeah, I guess I want to focus on the food sovereignty most of all. It's been kind of my, not even a hidden passion. It's just tough to, it's been tough given all the systemic issues we've been battling in our neighborhood, you know, with our missing and murdered and our, you know, the unsheltered and just the overdose epidemic, and then, you know, the pandemic. So now post everything, you know, everyone's regrouping and turnover and everything's starting to settle. So I really I'm really honored to be given the chance to showcase food sovereignty and my love for, you know, healthy food. So I guess first, before I get into the farmer's market, I'm doing a public art sculpture with the city now, and I'm working through the prototype phase now after the designs and the engineers signed off. But it's going to be a Three Sisters sculpture, corn, squash, and bean on a really huge scale on 10th and Hennepin. Probably next year, might be this year, but just there's so many delays with COVID and shipping and everything still happening. But then that gives me more time to rabble rouse and help build community support and education for the piece. So when it unveils, I'll have more of a library to talk about when it comes to efforts like the Four Sisters Farmers Market and food sovereignty, as we live in a healthy food desert in South Minneapolis, and healthy food is really not affordable and accessible. And I don't know if there's the program now where you can use SNAP and food benefit, government benefits to get fresh food, but pre-pandemic there was that program. So I'm just getting back on my feet, and I've heard it's still a thing. Jim Wild Health has been working on, but those kind of details I'm really excited to get into. And then the farmer's market is 11 to 4 p.m. Every Thursday. So get down there. And food, you know, I guess food is kind of like planting a tree. The best time to do it was plant one was 30 years ago. The next best time is now. So if you're not eating healthy now, and if you're not part of this, I call it a food, like a food sovereignty movement, you know, because the growers of the foods, just they love what they do, and there's so much love and good energy put into the food. And then the food's so healthy over time, you know, you really feel that positive energy. And the latest thing today, I was able to sit down with the Rendons, Marcy Rendon and Simone Rendon. We're at the market. And then Anna Rendon makes the honey from local bees. So if you didn't know, since they get the pollen locally for the honey, it helps you with your allergies because it has those built in, you know, it gets your body climatized to them, for lack of a better term. I'm not a scientist. So I was excited to get some local honey. And then there's other honey byproduct, bee byproducts, wax that can be used for other things. So if you're looking for that stuff, head to the market. And then also speaking with Simone, she harvests all of her own berries and plant products and produces them. And I kind of want to shed some light on like how food is a medicine, and our medicines are all, I guess, Western medicine is caught up to, like, you know, like sage, for example, is a good example. Like they found that, you know, the sage smoke is a good disinfectant. You know, and so that's a good way of explaining, like, you know, Simone's and other native foods and other natives Indigenous folks processing things, there's that literal element of, like, you know, like sage disinfects, and then there's a spiritual element. But in the markets, we don't have to get into the spiritual element, and you don't have to know that or get into those ceremonies to unleash the spiritual side of it, and but still enjoy the, I guess, the physical things, like the like in Willow, you know, there's, that's where aspirin came from, you know, so you can use the kinnikinick for, or that cadmium layer of the willow for aspirin, you know, without you know, going deep into.
So Rory, let's back up just a second too, and let our people in Wisconsin and all over Turtle Island know, where exactly are you talking about when it comes to the Indian Center here in Minneapolis on Franklin Avenue, and then also down the block where Four Sisters is on Franklin Avenue, also with the powwow grounds and NADCI and the great gallery that you were a big part of for many years.
Yeah, the Culture Corridor on Franklin Avenue there. I think it technically starts from AIOIC at Cedar and Franklin, goes down Franklin, you know, where the Indian Center there is on Bloomington and Franklin, where Bloomington kind of tees on Franklin. And then NACT is just a block down from Bloomington, and then across is like NAC, the Native American Community Clinic, and so that little stretch of Franklin Avenue is our culture corridor. And yeah, there's also the Two Rivers Gallery that's usually up, but, you know, given the Indian Center renovations. And then, yeah, the AICDC, you know, and all the great work Gozi's done, you know, with getting property ownership and the Native organizations, Native people, and helping with our unsheltered and getting the shelters, and help for
definitely. Hey, Rory, we got like a minute left here. Give us your big pitch here. What's coming up next here, and what's coming up next for you? I mean, that's exciting. I didn't know you were doing this big sculpture in downtown Minneapolis. What is that sculpture going to be made of? Is it brass or?
Yeah, it's going to be stainless steel core, and then aluminum outer, and then glass and light. So corn squash and bean, and kind of a 21st century kind of looking. And it's to monumentalize food rather than like all these tyrants in history that, you know, are so narcissistic. They put themselves in bronze everywhere forever. Like, you know, and it's kind of replaced that. And I guess in the metadata of it, the three sisters grow well, you know, the beans produce nitrogen, the corn grows the stalk so the beans can grow higher. And then the squash has ground cover with the big leaves and the squash themselves. So the water stays wet, the moisture stays in the ground longer. Mm-hmm. So they grow stronger together. And that's kind of a metaphor on how we can learn from those plants to decolonize, you know, our different cultures in our neighborhood can grow fine on our own, but if we really grow together like the three sisters, we can grow stronger and decolonize, you know. And I think food sovereignty, having a healthy food core, independent of fossil fuels needing to bring it in, I think is the first step in us truly collaborating. Because if you're in the dirt picking weeds and gardening with your neighbors, I mean, that's, for me, the next best thing to do in an arts workshop and just doing fun art with folks, functivism, I call it fun art or fun activism. But gardening and farming, you know, is fun, functivism, fun activism. So I'd really like to inspire folks to get your raised bed gardens going on, figure it out and just start doing it. You know, you might fail the first 1 or 2 years, but you know, that's kind of, you know, at some crops and some you might grow, you know, that's just kind of the fun of it, you know?
Well, we've had fun here with Rory, Wake 'em Up, and Wendy. We have fun with our bee garden out in front. It's like 3 times as big as it was last year.
Yeah, well, we got rid of our whole front lawn and we put in all native Minnesota pollinator plants. So we get a lot of bees and butterflies and hummingbirds and all the good stuff out front, right in front of our house.
Rory, thanks for stopping in, man. I know you're busy. I know you have somewhere to be really soon, and I really appreciate you stopping in and give us an update. really great information. And also, Pinigigi, congratulations on that art display that's coming up soon. Wow, that's exciting. Yeah,
it's a big deal. I'm really excited about it. And then bring me back in late July before my ceremonies, or early August after. I want to promote some ricing and potentially moose/deer harvest. But I got to work the kinks out and figure it out. But part of the healthy.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. There are no survivors among the five people on board a submersible that was heading to the Titanic wreckage on Sunday. Debris was found on the ocean floor today. U.S. Coast Guard Rear Admiral John Mauger.
This is a incredibly unforgiving environment down there on the seafloor, and the debris is consistent with a catastrophic implosion of the vessel.
More storms plow through the Denver area. A tornado touched down in Highlands Ranch, Colorado, as hail also fell near Denver. Last night, many concert goers at the Red Rocks Amphitheater were injured during a hailstorm. A tornado killed four people in Matador, Texas. In the NBA draft on ESPN, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver announces,
with the first pick in the 2023 NBA draft, the San Antonio Spurs select Victor Wembanyama from Nantes, France.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for organized crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for organized crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Dom's or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his...
An estimate and a check, and they made me a generous offer. It was that fast. See for yourself. Try the Rudy Luther Toyota We Buy program at RudyLutherToyota.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 69, Friday sunny with a high near 90, and Saturday thunderstorms with a high around 83.
If you've been waiting to replace those appliances, don't miss Warner Stellion's lowest prices of the season. Score instant savings, then up to 10% off.
and a bonus for each additional appliance you buy. Put us to the test at WarnerStallion.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, they do, and yes, they have. Hey, we're here with Wendy Pilot, and we're going to be talking about our sacred animals. And Wendy, thank you for stopping in. Really great to hear from you. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years. And again, as I say, every show that you're on, I learn so much from you. So take it away, Wendy.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Robert. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. But today I'm going to be talking about a holiday that's coming up very soon, the 4th of July. So every year, did you know, Robert, the 4th and Haley, the 4th of July is the one day where most dogs go missing.
Really? I do know that because of this show.
Yeah. Dogs.
Why? Because they get scared and run.
They get scared. Yeah. People bring their dogs to the firework displays. Even the most well-behaved dog will get frightened from these fireworks and the noise and the lights and the crowds. And they jump, then they run and they get lost. And the 4th of July is the day of the year where the most dogs go missing. So we're going to talk a little bit about fireworks, how to keep your dogs and your pets safe, and what happens to our wildlife with the fireworks. So,
and I always want to bring this up too, our army vets too.
Yes, I'm going to bring them up also. They are on one of the top.
Take it away, Wendy.
Okay, great. So yeah, I'm not a big fan of fireworks. I mean, when I was a kid, we would always, you know, as a family, just go and watch the fireworks for the 4th of July, and people would put, you know, have a lot of fireworks during New Year's Eve and, you know, all kinds of stuff. Even when we were at the Twins baseball game Friday night, every Friday they put on a display of fireworks and people stay and watch. But I have to tell you, we didn't stay to listen to the fireworks. We left before they started. But as we were walking and we were going to the ramp, I mean, those things are loud. I mean, they
make me ramp too. Really, it was making jumpy.
Yeah, very jumpy. I was just going to say that. Like, it startled me a couple of times and I jumped. But here's just a few things about fireworks. And bees become so disoriented during fireworks, they don't go back to their hives.
Whoa.
Yeah. So even the bee is affected by these fireworks. Birds have panic attacks at night, causing mass deaths. So they could get scared to death. Wild animals raising babies abandon their dens in fear. So they're there with their den. They're in the den with their babies, and then they run away, and then it's just a domino effect, you know. Even fish and other animals perish after ingesting firework debris. It is really a big pollutant. Companion animals have anxiety and panic attacks, and people, humans, have PTSD. Many of them are war vets, and they, you know, the noise, I can't even imagine. I mean, when we watch the news at night and they show us the war between Ukraine and Russia,
right,
and it sounds that same boom and all those all those missiles and everything, it sounds exactly just like fireworks if you listen to it. So I can't imagine how hard that is for veterans to hear.
Well, Wendy, too, and I don't want to jump into your thunder because we've talked about this specifically over the years, mm-hmm. and I know that some countries have silent fireworks. I don't know if you're going to talk about that. Did I take that?
Oh, no, you're not going to take away the thunder. But yes, there. It is on my list here. It's a little town in Italy. I can't remember the name of it. I think it's on the list here. I'll get it in a minute. But they have silent fireworks. So they have fireworks that they shoot off. There's no sound to them, but people will tune into their radio so that they'll hear the music and the kind of the fireworks go to the music. I think that's kind of cool, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's a few things that we can do to help our pets and just help overall during the fireworks, right? You want to keep them as far away from the noise and the celebrations. Just keep them someplace where it's dark and safe and you know, so they're safe, right? If you leave them alone, really be careful. It's a really good idea to put the radio on, put the TV on, let them have other noise so they're not just hearing the fireworks. So having the radio or a...
Put Ted Lasso on.
Yeah, put Ted Lasso on or any of the streaming Netflix or Apple TV, whatever you got, just put something on and let them watch that. And let's see, what else does it say here on the shelter? Yeah, so during walks, ensure to keep your dog on a leash in this during this period, because really, even during the day, people shoot out firecrackers and like those big cherry bombs.
Am I becoming an old curmudgeon? But I always thought that was at night.
But you know, during the daytime, you hear like the fizzle of the firecrackers and this. You know, make sure, you know, your gates are locked in your yard. Keep your dog in the house the whole day, I would say, in the night, really. This is a good time if your dog or cat gets upset during the fireworks. Now is the time to contact your vet, right? Not on July 3rd.
Right.
Ask your doctor for a sedative or, you know, something to keep your dog or cat calm.
And that's a real thing.
Yes, it is. Don't give them any of your medication, because a lot of medication that we take, dogs and cats can't take. So don't do that.
Right.
And I would say stay home with your pet.
Right.
And just hang out with them so they don't have to hear that, you know. But so we want to make sure that is all taken care of. And another thing is too, like, make sure your dog's collar is on securely. Make sure the tags have the updated information, since this is the, you know, time that most dogs go missing. It's the 4th of July. So if they are microchipped, make sure that information on that microchip, if your phone number or your address changed, make sure that's all updated. I wouldn't even keep the dog outside or the cat outside. I'd bring them in, you know.
I think that's changed over the years, too. Mm-hmm. We've always, as a family, when I was young, our dogs would come in and stay with us. Mm-hmm. Not always sleep with us like we let our dogs, Wendy. but there isn't like an outside dog anymore, and there shouldn't be, unless they have air conditioning in their doghouse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't believe in any outdoor animals. They should all be in the house. So.
Well, not the blackbirds and the raccoons that come by.
Yeah. So there is a little, a town in Italy is taking a big step to reduce the fear of fireworks in their non-human population. The local government of Calicchio made the law that fireworks in their town must be silent. It's a way of reducing the stress that the loud noises cause to animals, not just pets, but wildlife as well. There's a company called SETI Fireworks that make these silent explosives that you could customize for each event. So I think they're just sold in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
I give that town a big applause. And this, I've been talking about them, they've been doing it for quite a few years.
Yeah.
But I did go on Snoops. Is it Snopes? Snoops?
Yep.
So Snoops. What is it, babe?
Snopes.
So that's a fact-checking kind of app that you could go on to make sure that the thing that you're looking at is true or not. So they do the research to make sure. So are silent fireworks real?
Mm-hmm.
So according to Snopes, silent fireworks shows are a thing, mm-hmm. but they don't employ a newly invented form of noise-suppressing pyro techniques. I don't know what that means. Several cities have started to use silent fireworks in order to make the shows more enjoyable for children, mm-hmm. pets, and people with PTSD. I mean, when I see little kids at the fireworks, they have their goggles. Headphones on, right? They had those big noise
reduction
things on their heads.
They don't go deaf like we are.
Exactly, right? Jeez. I know. So a number of cities and organizations have staged relatively quiet fireworks displays. What's false? These fireworks shows are not entirely silent, and they typically don't include a large aerial explosions found in traditional shows or make use of some form of quiet decorative explosions. So that Snopes is just saying that, like the big giant displays that you see, usually always have noise.
Yeah. So it's a different thing.
Exactly. You know? So, yeah. So just the wildlife alone, I mean, just reading about the bees that they get disoriented and they don't find their way back to the hive. To me, that's kind of sad. Like, oh my gosh.
That is super sad. I didn't know that before.
Sad? Yeah. And then like even the birds, like you see them just like scatter right from the trees, like when these explosions go off, and birds can get so scared that they get scared to death and they actually die.
Well, you know, Wendy, we only had like a minute left here and we're going to drag you into another segment.
Yeah.
And I just want to say this is that I'm 62 now.
Mm-hmm.
I was only 61 just a month ago.
But now you're really old.
That's right.
In just 1 month.
But I never really even thought of these things in my 40s and, you know, 30s, 20s, of course. But it's amazing that this is a thing, and I totally understand and can comprehend that this is a thing and that needs to be talked about. So I really appreciate this.
I mean, I know that there's fireworks displays all over the place and people are going to go and, you know, watch them and, you know,
protect your relatives.
Protect your relatives. Make sure your dogs and cats and your animals, keep them in the house, keep them safe. Put some radios and Ted Lasso on.
and vets, please, you know, be safe too.
Yeah, the military veterans are, my heart just goes out to them.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, Peenie, Wendy, you're going to get up next here and we're all going to howl. So you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're going to be right back, Wendy, after this short message.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
When it comes to mental health, connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Whether you're struggling or know someone who struggles, see connections as comfort, hope, and joy. Like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, seeing your grandma. Together we can find ways to create a path forward. Visit cmentalhealth.org. Visit cmentalhealth.org.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas will help you get where you want to go. Located in downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality at Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas. Apply today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Thank you.
back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife for another segment here. We'll have to pay you a little more, and an extra check will be in the envelope.
All the time.
And we got some more sacred animal here, portion here, and I just want to give our wolves and Howling for Wolves a quick shout out as we proceed in this show. And I want to say thanks to Rory and Haley and everybody, and of course the lieutenant or the governor. I always want to say lieutenant governor, but he is the governor of Wisconsin. Yes. Dropping in with an update.
Yes, it's awesome, babe.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I was reading about our loons. A loon? Our state bird, the loon. I don't really know very much about them, so I wanted to learn more. But right now...
Wait a minute. Okay, go ahead.
That's an injured loon. Sounds like an injured loon to me. Go ahead. Do you want to try it again?
I'm laughing at the same time. No, I can't.
It's
do
an
it
elderly loon.
Yeah,
elderly loon. So loon chicks are loon. Hatching. Loon chicks are hatching. Boat and jet ski strikes are a leading cause of chick and adult loon deaths.
What?
Yeah, of course it's us. Yes, jet skis and boat strikes are the leading cause of chick and adult loon deaths.
Jeez.
So watch ahead and give all the loons space. Because, listen, loons will not try to dive out of the way when they're protecting their chicks, especially when they're on their backs in the water. Wow. So, yeah, a loon that has a chick on their back is not going to take off really right. fast, because then the baby chick will die. So it'll do everything it can to protect the young, and it'll just get hit. But I didn't really know that. So, yeah. The other thing that we've read, I talked about loons. I'm going to try to just say this without reading it, but I remember it, that the loon, their feet are put back in their body a little bit more. So they don't really go on land. Oh. So they just go on land a little bit to make a nest.
Was this
a previous
fun fact?
Yes, this is a fun fact Friday maybe. Yeah. So if you see a loon walking around on the ground, they're in trouble. You need to get them off the ground and put them back in a large body of water, because they need a large body of water to take off. They need to be on the water to take off and fly.
Wow.
Yeah, but they'll do their nests on the land, but like very, very close to the water.
How long do loons live?
I'm going to tell you, because I have 15 interesting yeah. and unusual loon facts.
Wow.
And this is from Optics Mag. It was just last year it was updated. So this is 15 loon facts.
Let her rip.
Loons defend territories up to 200 acres. So they have a really big place. I can't imagine 200 acres in my mind, but I would imagine it's pretty big. Yeah. Like many animals, loons use calls and non-vocal communication to mark and defend their territories. It makes evolutionary sense. Sound travels a great distance, especially over water. Letting other birds know a place is occupied helps avoid risky squabbles that could result in injuries or death. These birds cover a lot of land, which range from 60 to 200 acres. So that's a big, long... Robert, you've been practicing... Chicks start calling when they're only 1 day old. So they start calling when they're only 1 day old.
What are they calling?
They start with their little vocalizations. Yeah. An adult loon's wingspan is nearly 5 foot wide.
That's your arms stretched out.
Isn't that unbelievable? And an adult loon, yeah, an adult loon is a sizable bird weighing in at over 13 pounds. Okay, so our Wanda, our little dog, is a little over 9 pounds. So a loon is 13 pounds. It also has a massive wingspan of nearly 5 feet to get its large body off the ground. These birds need space to do it. That's why you'll typically find them on large lakes with plenty of room to build up some speed for flight. They are as stealthy in the air as they are in the water. Loons aren't landlubbers. You'll notice several things about loons if you look at them closely. They have relatively narrow bodies that allow them to swim and fly so well. You'll also find their feet set back, further back on their hind legs or their hind ends. It's good if you're diving for fish. It's not so useful for walking around on the land. The only times they venture out of the water are when they're mating or on a nest. So any other time they're in the water. Wow. So they only come out to mate and sit on the nest. That's it.
Hmm.
Pairs will wail when separated. Oh. Yeah, so they'll cry for each other. And
Are they together for life?
It doesn't say it in this article, so I would have to look that up. I don't know, but they do miss each other, and they will cry for each other.
Hmm.
Yeah,
kind of like me and you.
The oldest loon was 29 years and 10 months old.
What?
Yeah, loons differ from many other species because of their longevity, relatively long lifespan.
Wow.
Their average generation length is 9.8 years. However, the oldest confirmed individual comes from banding data collected by the U.S. Geological Survey. Their records show a loon that was first caught in Michigan in 1989. It was located again on April 22nd, 2016, making it 29 years and 10 months old, and it was released alive. Yeah, the global loon population is 640,000 individuals. That's a lot of loons, I think, right? Lake life and loons don't mix. So if you go bird watching to find loons, you'll quickly find that they are flighty. You'll at least likely have to spot them on lakes that don't have any humans and lakes that are really quiet, and you have to go.
That's why we don't see them here.
That's because we really don't see them because they don't want to hang out with us. Who could blame them? We really suck.
I'm kind of nice.
Mm.
Did you just me?
Smaller loons, yodels have higher frequencies, so there's different sizes of the loons. I couldn't tell whether that is a...
That's a big one.
Okay. So the males are nearly 30% larger than the females.
Of course they are.
Yeah, in this case, they are.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Well, because the eagles, the female is bigger.
Right.
Eagles, females are bigger than the male eagles. So in this case, the male is bigger. Yeah.
Find us a good fun fact here before we make it like a tree and leaf.
Mm. Let's see. Well, the loon is very important, and it became a Minnesota state bird in 1961.
Who was born in 1961?
Robert was born in 1961. Yep.
What a
coincidence. Minnesota made the common loon its state bird in 1961.
Well, Wendy, thank you so much. Let me just say, Pini Gigi, we to you being on and talking about our sacred animals. And also how important, you know, we should talk about this a lot here before the 4th so people can catch that about the fireworks. But, hey, if you're listening to the show, thanks for Governor Evers for stopping in for...
look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite, and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.